produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Consumed my life, and every day was a fight. I had forged my path right beneath God's wrath. I lived life my way, and I was destined to pay, but Jesus took his death.
Good morning, and happy Thursday. Most of all, happy May. Can you believe that we are almost halfway through this year? Gosh. And today is a special day for me. But first and foremost, my name is Tammy Polk, and I am the host of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. And today is a very special occasion for me. This is my fifth year of having this show, and it has definitely been a ride. I was just telling someone the other day that even though this show was going to play on the 12th, the 11th of May is a very special day for me in a myriad of ways. First and foremost, it is my mother's birthday, my late mother's birthday, and she passed away in 2007. And I remember getting the debut day for my radio show and just breaking down because I said, she's not here to see this day. She's not here to see this accomplishment. And it just broke my heart. But I went on and I continue to do it, and I love my show. Even when it moved over from the main web network to my subsidiary network, I just continued to celebrate and relish in the fact that this was another gift that I could give my mom. The second reason why May 11th is so important to me is because it is the day that I graduated from college back in 2002. I remember my mom crying buckets, like literal buckets, when I told her that I would be graduating from high school on her on her 46th birthday. And just hearing her, hearing the emotion. And when I tell you that my mom was fierce sitting up there in those stands, people almost didn't want to sit next to her because they didn't want to get anything on that white linen suit or that matching hat. And I could remember just seeing the pride in my mom's eyes that day. And so as I was pondering on what I was going to share today, as I was going to Mother's Day dinner with my husband, he said, Tammy, talk about your mom and how she helped you to stay grounded. And I learned a great deal from my mom before she left here. And I understood what a mother's strength was early in life. My mom married young. She was 17 when she got married. My dad was 20. And she had a child at 18, a child at 19, and then I slid in there at 23. And she would share with me, not in an effort to discredit my dad or make him look like a bad man, just some of the struggles that she went through marrying so young and having kids so young and not being around her family, being that they moved to Memphis from Alabama. And I just remember how she was a stickler for
us doing well academically. I tell people all the time when they compliment me on my handwriting that my mom was a stickler for penmanship. And she told me that unless I was planning to become a doctor, I needed to work on my handwriting. She would always tell me, pretty girls have pretty handwriting. And I would remember how she would literally sit me in front of her with a tray table and make me write. And she would take the pencil out of my hand and erase if I started to mess up. And if my dad was coming in, I would start clowning because I knew that he would make my mom stop and let me get up from that table. And my mom would, just to keep the peace, but she would look at me and say, we're going to work on this tomorrow. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom the entire time she was married to my dad. But she was very involved at our school. Anytime they needed volunteers for anything or chaperones for anything, my mom was there. She walked us to school every day. And when we came out from school, there my mom was. Now, I had one of those moms that was like, don't even wonder if the sky is still blue until you have finished your homework. And sometimes, just as a young girl, I would wonder why my mom, you know, was so hard on me academically. You know, I couldn't make anything less than an A. You know, if I made a B, if it wasn't in science, my mom had an issue. And I asked her one day, Mom, why are you so hard on me? And she said to me something I will never forget. She said, as a girl, you only have three choices: the street, the pole, or the grave. And my daughter would not fall victim to either one. So she pushed me in school, even to the point of telling me in the fifth grade where I was going to go to college. And I remember when my acceptance letter came, she actually checked me out of school so that I could read the letter. I'd gotten accepted, and when she found out that a parent had to be present at student parent orientation for 2 weeks, she took those 2 weeks off work and dared anybody to say something to her. And speaking of work, my mom was the first entrepreneur I ever saw. And it was my aunt, one of her older sisters, who introduced her to becoming what we now consider to be a home health nurse after she finished her program as a medical assistant. And my mom was there taking care of people in an assisted living facility that I now live down the street from. And she would be there for those whose families wanted them to have extra help aside from what the facility offered. And I would go to work with my mom some days and ended up having clients of my own. It was funny because I had people who would pay me $50 a week. I was 14 years old, and they would pay me $50 a week to read them the Bible, to read them the paper, or if they couldn't see well, to tell them what was happening on TV. So that was my first job, per se. But I would watch my mom care for these people as if they were family. And my favorite client of hers was Miss Catherine, who believed that her $2 an hour a year raises was what got me through college. I never told her any differently. But my mom loved what she did. And I can remember that my mom didn't start getting ill until her last client passed away. That was when I started to see the low side of my mom. But even in that, she still kept me grounded. Like I said, she said some crazy stuff, but it helped me. Because when she went down, she told me that I was going to be too smart, haughty, and high-minded to take care of her if she got any sicker. And she always compared me to the son in the, I want to say it was Shirley Caesar, singing message about being a denied mother. I may have that wrong. But she told me that that was how I was going to treat her. And it made me mad because I didn't want my mom to think that way about me. So I made sure that anytime my mom needed anything, that I was there. And in the last few months of her life, she finally looked at me and said, I know now, all I have is you and my baby, my oldest daughter, Yasmin. And with one of the last conversations she had, she gave me advice about what to name my next child if I had a girl, which was Jalen Ari. And in those days after my mom passed away, I found out that I was 19 and a half weeks pregnant with a baby girl. And the first thing that I said was, I know what your name is. And that was another level of grounding for me, because she taught me how to keep her in my kids' lives even after she was gone. And when Jalen was born and I got her newborn pictures back and put her picture against the last picture of my mom that I had, She was the spitting image of my mom as a baby. And that was special to me. Even in my professional life, I still heard my mom's voice after she passed away. I went into psychology as my plan B because I chickened out of education after hearing that it was a 5-year program. And my junior year, I found out that the 5th year was the master's program, and I was mad because I was at a $40,000 a year institution and didn't want to die for changing my major. But I ended up in education. And even with education, I heard another crazy thing. She told me I wasn't strong enough, that I wasn't firm enough to become the teacher that I wanted to be. And a few years later, I want to say it was 3 years after she died, I won an award for being the most requested substitute teacher in the district. And I can remember being glad that that award was printed on photo paper because I sat there and I began to cry. And I said to myself, Mom, I did it. And I did it to the best of my ability. And I would go on to teach for almost 9 years. I hung up my badge in 2018. And even now, as I sit here as a speaker, as a coach, as an author, as a mom, as a wife, as a full-time entrepreneur, I know that if she were here today, she would be having an absolute blast learning how to do things in these times and how to move and how to do different things for me. I also joke all the time. I said if my mom were alive today, I wouldn't have my children. Because she would steal all three of them, which would have been perfectly okay. But the resolve that I saw in her, the bravery that I saw in her to walk away from a good paying factory job because her child was getting in trouble at school a little bit too much for her liking was what sent her into full-time entrepreneurship. She had a few other jobs before she passed away, but being that home health aide was where her heart and where her passion was, and she was good at it. So I tell people often that our parents aren't perfect people. Our parents tell us things that sound crazy, but they really are meant to motivate us. Because we may be mad, but deep down, we want them to be proud. Because the first and main thing that my mom always wanted to be grounded, me to be grounded in, is who I was as a person. And that's where I'm going to leave it. Being grounded in who you are is the basis for it. But I know many times we're caught up as being someone's spouse, sibling, grandchild, niece, nephew, things like that. And we get so intertwined with it that we wonder if people even know our names. But that's when you speak up and let them know, no, I'm not just such and such as whatever label you want to put on me. So I come to a somber end of this month's broadcast, and I say this to you as always: God bless, Godspeed in all that you do. Keep charging, eat a cookie, handle business, and remember who you are. I dare not end my show without thanking my favorite two people. Kayla Paget, God bless you as you continue to expand to take care of your mom and your sister, especially during these dire times. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your team, for your sister, and for mom especially. To Nicole Gates, the woman who lovingly bullied me into having this radio show in the first place. Girl, we made it to 5 years. Can you believe it? That is my story, and I'm sticking to it. I did forget to say one thing. The music that you hear at the beginning of my show is by my friend and church member, Amber Patterson DePaola. This particular song was not led by her, but she did write it. So if you are interested in any of her music, please let me know, and I will get you guys connected. Until then, I will see you guys in June. Make it a great Thursday and rest of the month. Bye, everybody.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.